Okay, we're looking at the good news communication. We're examining the process of being a person who communicates the good news. And typically what we're looking at in that examination, what you would usually think about is going out and preaching the gospel, going out and preaching the good news to those people around us. But what we're the premise that we're dealing with today is, and did last Sunday, is you can't give what you don't have. And in Christianity, you can't give what you're not. If the good news is not a part of who you are, then for you to try to communicate that to other people is impossible. The good news for us starts in us. The good news starts, first of all, in someone presenting the good news to us. And we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we find out that that's good news. We're excited about that good news that we have experienced by someone sharing the good news with us. And so, as we have that good news communicated to us, that's pretty much all we understand, that we don't see the good news as being another part of our lives a lot of times. We see the good news as being a message that was presented. And what we do is we call it the gospel. And when we talk about the gospel, we categorize it and compartmentalize it into this one little segment of going out and proclaiming the gospel to the people around us, rather than recognizing that we don't get involved in a message, we get involved in a life. We don't involve ourselves in salvation and experience. We involve ourselves in salvation, a life. And that life is a life of the good news. A lot of times what we have happen to us is we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and maybe we will start to be exposed to various aspects of the church. We'll go to Sunday school, we'll attend various church services, and in those church services we'll talk about the Bible. And we talk about the Bible, and we talk about biblical things, we cover those things that are issues that we find in the Word of God, we maybe memorize some scriptures, we'll maybe have some people explain some what the Bible means in those scriptures, and we'll go through a process of learning the Bible and becoming familiar with what the Bible says. That isn't Christianity. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus found when he came to this planet and started to do his ministry. He found some people who were very proficient in the information. They were very knowledgeable in what the scripture said. As a matter of fact, their kids, by the time they reached the age of 12, if they wanted to be declared adults at the age of 12, they had to be able to recite the first five books of the Bible. They were well trained in those things of the Bible, but that isn't godliness. Why do we go to church? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we go through the various procedures of Christianity, of being baptized and having communion and doing all of those things? Why do we do all those things? Why do we have a worship service? Why do we spend our time singing songs together? I mean, it's fun, but why do it? And what we don't realize is that God is trying to impact our heart and our lives with the good news. He wants us to have a good news heart. And that's what we talked about last Sunday. We talked about the good news heart, to where that we think on Philippians 4:8 things. In other words, it changes us. It changes our thought life. It changes the whole process of how we think. If you continue to think the way you thought before you came to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you continue to believe what you believed before you came to Him, your life's not going to change. Does that make sense to you? If you just go right on thinking the way you've always thought, if you continue to believe all the things you've always believed, then your life is going to stay where it always was. But It isn't just a matter of us learning stuff. It's a matter of it being a power that transforms us into a good news person. You want to see good things starting to happen in your life. You can start to expect from Christianity, you can start to expect miracles. You can start to expect things changing in those relationships that you're struggling with. You can start to expect good things to start happening to you. And that's what the good news is all about. It isn't just good news, you can become a Christian, and now that you're a Christian, it's over. Okay, that was the end of it. Hope you enjoyed it. It goes on beyond that, much farther than that. God just continues to work in your life, giving you good things, good things, good things, and your life starts to fill up with great things of God. And as that happens to you, you become a good news person. As that happens to you, your thoughts start to change. You start to say, wait a minute, this is pretty good. This is pretty exciting. I'm glad I did this. And you start to grow into an excitement about those things that God has done and is doing and will do in your life. Now, this next step is a little bit more difficult to understand. Communication. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, that's the good news. The first thing that we find is that it's a little bit hard for us to start to speak or communicate the good news. It's difficult to explain, but it's when you start to say to someone, well, I've become a Christian, it's difficult to really understand why, but there's this weird feeling that you get when you start to talk to a friend and say, well, I've become a Christian. Because it's like you're saying to them, I've become a Martian. They look at you like, whoa. You feel that pressure. Oh, you got religion. No, I became a Christian. I'm not ashamed. Now, what we're going to get into is the importance of being able to express that to the people around you. The vital necessity to you, not to them. What we usually think about is you need to share this with your friends because your friends need to hear this message. But what we very frequently skip is the importance it is for you to have your ears hear what you just said. For you to start to express to them. And one of the things in the parts of the elements of salvation is that you not only believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, but one of the needs of your life is to be able to share with others that Jesus is your Lord. I'm not ashamed. In other words, this ability to speak out of your mouth the fact that I have committed my life to Christ, and that's what baptism is all about. Water baptism is one of those things where we are in front of a group of people and we are being baptized in water saying, I have accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and because of that, I have died out to my old ways and I'm being raised to a newness of life. And that is our first step of testimony to the people around us. I am a Christian. And as long as you travel through life incognito, presenting yourself just as being one who has not experienced Jesus Christ, and you go on about your life not letting anyone know that you're a Christian, that is something that is damaging to your own heart. It hurts you. It's that freedom of speech. It's that freedom of religion. It's that freedom to be able to believe and to do and to live those things that you are. And to not allow the pressures of the society to dampen that conviction. Amen? Amen? Therefore, we're not ashamed of the good news of Christ. Now, should we be ashamed to start with? If you stop and look at it and examine it, why in the world would someone be ashamed of good news? And as we looked at last week, it's a world of bad news. Everywhere you turn, everyone's talking. Bad news, bad news, bad news. If people gossip about you, they don't gossip good news, do they? They want to run you down. They say bad things about you. And you say good things about people. What's wrong with that? That's the good news. Why would we be ashamed of it? I don't know. I don't understand it. It's hard to explain. Why would I feel a little bit squeamish about the fact that I'm a Christian and all of these wonderful things have been introduced into my life? I've heard people get excited about some sort of shampoo. Haven't you? I tried this shampoo the other day and it just made my hair feel so good. And they're going around preaching the good news about shampoo. Well, why would they do that and not be willing to share it? My life's been changed. It doesn't make any sense, does it? And to just make that conviction in your heart and to say, I'm not ashamed. This is good stuff that's happening in my life. It's helping my relationships. It's helping my heart. It's helping those things about me. It's helping everything around in my circumstances. I'm starting to experience miracles in all different directions, and I'm not ashamed of it. And you start to speak it out of your mouth. We're not so, it's hard for me to say it this way because I'm so used to saying share. But this is really not what we're talking about today. It's hard for us to speak it out of our mouth. It's hard to get it to roll over our tongue and come out our lips and say it out in the air. And that becomes good news communication. Now, James 3:4 starts to address the issue. Talked about a horse, now he's talking about, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large. Here's where we start to move into Christianity. This is the place where Christianity starts to make sense to us, where we start to understand why we're actively involved. Now, consider a ship, a huge one, a sailboat, something that is really big, something kind of like the picture that we have up on the wall. Consider something of so large that you would consider yourself unable to have any kind of influence over it. It's just too big. And that is the way that we look at life. Life is huge. Life is something that you just shouldn't be able to have much of an impact on. You're just sort of like a little pinball in a pinball machine being kicked around. Bing, 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 bing. And you really don't have much control over where you're going and what you're doing. And that's the way it looks in our lives as we ride along in the ship of life. We feel like this thing here is so huge, I can lean however I want to and it doesn't affect the ship. I can want whatever I want to and it just doesn't affect the ship. And consider how it is being driven by strong winds. Huge winds that knock your house down. Huge winds that destroy things. Winds that are way over your head in power and strength. And you think, there's nothing I can do about it. And that's the way our life is. They are steered by a very small rudder. That just doesn't seem possible, does it? It doesn't seem possible that a ship that's being pushed by the wind can have a captain start to turn the wheel on that ship and have that little rudder underneath the ship start to turn that boat in a different direction. But it does. And what James is saying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is that this person that is controlling this ship, this big ship, under these wind conditions, is doing something that is available to you as a Christian. The Bible says in James 3:5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. We think, so? He's introducing us into the rudder that controls the ship. He's introducing us into the bit that redirects the horse. And he's saying, Your tongue is the mechanism whereby your life is going to head in another direction. But to us, our tongue is just so small and inconsequential. Everybody's expressing their opinion. Everyone is saying things. We're not someone who gets on the news and is able to have control over mass media and able to influence people by our opinions because we have a huge listening audience. And so we think our tongue, which is just a small thing like a little tiny rudder, we think that that little tongue, that it doesn't matter what it says. We can just say whatever we want to. Well, I think this. Well, I just don't like that. And when our little tongue just flaps all the time, the little tongue is going and going and going and going, we think, no big deal. And we're like a drunk person driving all over the road. A few Sundays ago, I had this control in my hand. Nathan gave it to me early, and so I had it kind of tucked up with my Bible. And there's a little button up here that doesn't work any other time except when you aren't wanting it to. And I guess my arm was rubbing it or something. And I'm standing in the foyer, and Nathan is trying to do some things for the service. And his mouse was moving all over the place. Now, I didn't know that it was moving his mouse. I didn't know that me having this little mechanism under my arm was affecting him in the media booth. But it was. He had to come and take it away from me. He took my toy from me. And once he did that, things were working fine. That's the way it is with us. We just don't know that our tongue is doing the things that it's doing because it's just a little inconsequential thing that talks. It says things. It just comes off of our cuff. We think thoughts. We have feelings. And we just spout out these things just as a matter of whim. And we don't realize that this is steering our lives and running us all over the place, and that we're running into walls, and we're finding ourselves in difficulties, and we end up with our foot in our mouth, and all kinds of things are happening to us bad, and we think, well, what in the world caused that? Where'd that come from? Whoa, how come we're going this direction? I don't want this. I don't like my life going in this direction. And we just get all upset about this life that is out of control and going in different directions. And we just feel completely lost and out of touch with all of those things. And we're just a little hunk of wood out there in the middle of the ocean being bobbed around with all of the winds and waves. And we don't know what to do. We don't know how to bring things into control again. We don't understand that life isn't just one of those things that shoves us around. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Now, here's a great example. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Remember Chicken Little? Any of you hear that story, Chicken Little? The sky's falling, sends everyone into a panic. Because he thinks the sky is falling. Consider a forest, a whole huge forest that is set on fire by one small spark. Is that possible? It is, isn't it? What he's trying to do in this passage of Scripture is to bring into focus the tongue. Even though it looks little and inconsequential, the tongue steers the boat. The tongue sets the life on fire. Now, if the Bible didn't say that, I wouldn't believe it. I mean, it'd be hard for me to accept that's possible. But here it is, right here in the Scripture. It is being expressed and saying to us, the tongue is like a small spark that sets an entire forest on fire. Now, the Bible says in James 3:6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Now, I've got it listed here in 1, 2, and 3 because I want you to just consider these three points. They're vital points. Now, it seems like no matter what we say, that it just affects those people we talk about. It seems like if we gossip against someone, it hurts them. It seems that if we say something mean to someone and bawl them out, that it attacks them. And so we will say something tough. We'll say something cutting. We'll say something behind someone's back. And we're doing it to hurt them. And we think that we're sending that word out to damage them. Instead, the Bible is saying here in point one, it corrupts the whole person. Now, that's important to know, isn't it? That's important to know, isn't it?
Yes.
That's important to know, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, now, why do I do that? Why do I have you to say yes out loud? Because the communication of your mouth affects your mind. When do you become convinced of something? You'll mull it around in your mind, and all of a sudden you'll come to this place of deciding you're going to tell someone. And when you do, it affects your mind in a more permanent fashion. It becomes a commitment in your heart. And if we start on a campaign of gossip and backbiting and striving and seditions, if we get on those campaigns and we start saying those things, the problem is that word comes back around and hits us right in the ears and it starts to plant those seeds in our heart. And it hurts our whole body. It hurts our whole life. Should you be a person who communicates the good news?
Yes.
Amen. This is why. This is the vital necessity of this. This is not an option. It's something that we have to say to ourselves. I'm going to be a good news communicator. Now, what is a good news communicator? It's to take the word of God and say it. It's to bring your mouth, your heart, your mind into that allegiance to the word of God and start saying those positive things of the word of God. That's the good news. It's not a gospel tract. It's not just a quick presentation of the gospel. The Bible is the gospel. The entire Word of God is the gospel. That's the good news. That's God's good news. And what we are going to be doing Sunday after Sunday is we're going to be bringing up those passages of Scripture in the Word of God and bring them to your attention and saying, here's some good news, and here's some more good news, and here's some more good news, and here's some more good news. Why? So that we can think those things according to Philippians 4:8, and so we can say those things according to James. So we start to talk the good news. Now, there's two aspects to positive word. I can be anything I want to be. That's a positive word. It's not true, but it's a positive word. I cannot be anything I want to be. And yet we're telling our kids, you can be anything you want to be. And when they try that, they'd say, what a liar. I can't hold a note and I want to be a singer. I don't have the physical abilities, but I want to do those physical things. Those are certain things that God has wired me and limited me to that I cannot do. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a positive word. All things are possible. Well, that's not necessarily true. All things are possible with God. That's true. That's a biblical concept. That is one that God stands behind, makes it work. So that we're not just talking positive thinking. We're not just talking about positive confession. We're talking about positive thinking, positive confession in the Word of God. And when we do that, we start to line up our mind and we start to line up our heart. We start to line up our mouth with the truth of God's Word. We start to say what God's saying. We start to repeat those words after God. And when our mouth gets into alignment with God, the Bible is starting to say to us right here, it ceases to corrupt our lives. Point two, It sets the whole course of his life on fire. The whole course. You can blab your way into destruction. Amen?
Amen.
You can talk your way into depression. You can talk your way into a divorce. You can talk your way into the destruction of your children. You can talk your way into the destruction of your parents. You can talk your way into infamity in your relationship with the people around you. You can talk your way into all kinds of trouble. Or you can talk your way into miracles of God. You can talk your way into the power of God. You can talk your way into the transformations of God. You can talk your church into the things of God to bring it into a mighty move of God. Amen.
Amen.
And we become good news communicators. Is this vital to us? Is this vital to our family? Is this vital to our community? Is this vital to our church? Is it vital to us as people?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Because it corrupts our whole course of life. Point three, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, that's not good news. I thought you said we're supposed to only talk good news. Well, that's not the end of the story. It's a good news story. They lived happily ever after. It didn't start out looking all that good, but it's going to work together for good. Why? Because the tongue is going to be transformed by the power of Christ. And the way it got transformed was accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you made him Lord of your life, he took control of your tongue and empowered it to say those things that are truths in the Word of God. And that's good news. James 3:2 says, we stumble in many ways. Well, now that's true. Depressing, but true. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, you see that mouse up there in that picture? That mouse, when you move that little mouse around on your computer, it gets you inside your computer, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, you can move that mouse, and it moves the cursor to where that cursor goes wherever you move your mouse. And because you can move that cursor around inside of your computer, you start to influence all of that stuff inside of your computer. There's a joystick up there. It's an old one. They have a lot better ones now, but the way kids play video games is they have these joysticks, and they play these games, and there's soldiers running around, and there's cars moving, and there's all sorts of things happening. And the way they move all of those objects inside of that computer is with that mechanism. Now, what good would it do to get in your car, sit down, start the engine, put it in gear, press the accelerator, and look down, and there's no steering wheel? That's a moment of panic, isn't it? We were driving down the road. My uncle was driving. And I was sitting in the middle, and my grandpa was sitting on the right side. And we were just going down the road, just enjoying the trip, and all of a sudden, he starts veering off the road. And he is spinning that wheel the opposite direction that the truck's going. And he's just spinning that thing, and it's just spinning. It's not affecting the front wheels. And he starts screaming, as we start screaming, when he starts screaming, because if he thinks it's bad, then it's got to be bad. And so we joined him in screaming. And he's got both feet on the brake. And he brings it to a stop before we hit anything. And let me tell you something. We turned that thing off and we got out. We didn't have any more to do with that truck until something got changed. That steering wheel, those mechanisms that steer the boat, those things that we do to manipulate those elements around us, they all have to have something that steers them or they're useless to us. And we have to understand that if we say those things that we need to say, we will be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Well, shall we just give up and not even try? Nobody's going to be perfect, so I'm not even going to try to be good. My life's never going to be perfect, so I'm not even going to work on it. Have you ever washed your car? It's just going to get dirty again. Have you ever made your bed? Why bother? You're going to go back and mess it up again. Have you ever taken a shower? Have you ever brushed your teeth? We do a lot of stuff that we're never going to whip. They're never going to stay clean. It's not going to ever stay right. We're never, ever going to reach that end place where you say, well, I'm never doing that again. I've had my shower. It's true that we will not reach the element of perfection. I made 49% on my test and got an A. Weird, huh? Well, here's the philosophy of the professor. He gave us a test, and every question that he covered in the entire course was on that test. Every one of them. So if we learned anything, there was a place for us to put it. It wasn't going to be a fault of him that we didn't pass that course. Everything we knew was there with a question, and we could put the answer down. I liked that test because it gave me a chance to demonstrate that I had learned all of these things. I didn't know everything. I didn't learn everything. I wasn't ever going to know all of those things. But the things that I did know went on that test, and he gave me credit for them. We can't reach perfection. We're never going to get 100%. We're never, ever going to reach the top of all that God has to offer. But the opportunities are limitless. The opportunities for us to have a great life are awesome. God will let it go off the scale. God is able to do super abundantly above anything we can think of or ask for. It's just all out there waiting for us. He's not wanting us to get all hung up and no one's perfect. He's wanting us to understand that it is out there for us to excel and to press on to the high call of God. And we can go as far and as dynamically as we want to go. It is unlimited what you can do in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And once we get over the element of perfection and we start to say, okay, if I say these things, I am going to bring control over my entire body. There's the answer. That's the how. I just want to take just a second to encourage you to not read Christian books that only tell you what to do. To not expose yourself exclusively to sermons that tell you what you should be doing. To not spend your time studying those things that only tell you what. We have to know how. We have to know how. What, if you just study that, it will make you extremely depressed. It will discourage you. It will frustrate you. It will cause you to turn on yourself. It will cause you to give up on trying. Because you will keep trying and trying and trying, and it won't happen for you. But if you read the Word of God and you start to study those how scriptures, like this one right here, and it tells you, okay, here's how. And all of a sudden you start thinking Philippians 4:8 things, and you start talking the Word of God good news out of your mouth according to this passage here. You will bring your life in the directions of perfection. Your life will change. Your marriage will change. Your heart will change. Your attitudes will change. Your emotions will heal. Everything about your thinking process, everything about the way you are able to get a job, everything about the way people hire you, the way people respect you, the way people accept you as their friends will change. The moment that you start to speak forth out of your heart, the abundance of the good news of God, out of God's word, everything around you, the people, the relationships, everything about the way you see yourself and the way you feel about yourself will change. That's good news. There are very few people in this world who are doing these things. You're not going to be in big competition. If you want to be the manager of a company, here it is. If you want to be able to make more money without spending a lot more time, here it is. You become desirable to the people around you. You become popular to the people around you. You become a person of success because your life is heading in a direction that people want to follow you. All of these positive thinking concepts that step outside of the Word of God and involve themselves in secular humanism, starting to try to pump you up and get you to become excited on the inside, and you don't know why you're excited, and try to get you to talk positively and you don't know what you're talking about, and try to get you to think positively and you end up trying to be something that you can't be. All of those things that step outside of that will cause you to become distracted from the truth of God. And that is if you become a good news communicator, if you become a good news thinker, your life will change drastically. And that doesn't even include, I mean, those things that I just said just now, they are things that make sense. Those are the things that, you know, we can understand and say, well, yeah, people, of course, they'll like being around me because I'm complimentary. I'm a person who is honest. I have integrity. I never cheat them. I never lie to them. I never steal from them. I never talk against them. I'm constantly there as their friend, thick and thin. I am conscientious. I work hard on the job. I am constantly striving to do a better job. I do everything as to the Lord, not to men. And so God is watching me all the time, so I'm very effective in everything that I do. I'm a take charge person because I have the confidence of God in my life. And so I know that I can do all of the things that I'm doing because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I become a person who takes charge, and I'm a person who helps things ahead in a proper direction. And you can even talk when you're speaking the good news. I become a person that I enjoy my own company. Wouldn't that be good? So the Bible then brings out for us in James 3:18, peacemakers start sowing seeds in peace. They start planting them in their lives all around them. Everywhere they go, they're planting these peacemaker seeds in the lives around them. And they harvest a harvest of righteousness. In other words, at first it's just a matter that people start liking you. It becomes a matter of people like hiring you. They like you being in charge of their company. They like you being in charge of their lives. They like you being their spouse. They like you being their parents. At first it's just those immediate things. But as you start sowing this in this direction, you start reaping the past benefits that are seeds today and are harvest tomorrow. And it starts to multiply and multiply and multiply all around you until all of a sudden you find that you're a David, you're a Joseph, you're a person of vital necessity in the Word of God, and it multiplies exponentially. Then we go beyond that. When you start hungering and thirsting after righteousness and you start becoming a peacemaker and you start to communicate the good news out of your mouth, God sees that as faith. And the just shall live by faith. And so not only do those natural things that you can think of just automatically, people will like you better if you're a person who talks good news, and not only will that gravitate out in an exponential way of the people around you, just automatically influencing other people, and then more and more people starting to gravitate around your life. But the supernatural manifestations of God start to take place, where God starts to move in a mighty and powerful way, working miracles in your life and causing everything to work together for good. I think all this is good news, don't you? I think all of this is pretty awesome life. And all of a sudden, you hear yourself saying, in the midst of all sorts of derogatory statements, yeah, but. And you hear yourself say, good news. Now we're back to that passage. Go into all the world and preach or proclaim or speak the good news to all creation. Do you see what your assignment is? It's not to do this little watered down, compacted together, condensed, four spiritual laws or some sort of little tiny tract or something. Going and proclaiming the good news is becoming a good news person. You think good news, you talk good news, and you share that good news with the people around you. And all of a sudden, those people are being impacted by your life. And it's a commitment this morning. Okay, I'm going to walk out of this church, and I'm going to start on a path of good news. Amen? 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 I'm going to walk out of here today, and I'm going to start on a path of this thing right here, this mouth, this tongue. I'm committing it to good news. And from that point on, you start to grow in saying good news to the people around you. And your ears hear you say that good news. And it transforms your life as well as theirs. Would you stand?